And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton and the surrounding community at 93.3 FM, and also the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. And today we're interviewing live Wendy Goldsmith. Wendy is an activist and organizer and one of the members of the steering committee for the Canada Boat to Gaza. Wendy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. And we've been looking at this Gaza boat issue, the second Freedom Flotilla, the Canadian boat to Gaza, for quite some time now. We've conducted a number of interviews on this basis, and we recently interviewed Kevin Nisch. And we might want to talk about that in a moment because, of course, interesting story regarding that. But just in terms of this flotilla, all these exciting things you're helping organize, this massive, major event, I understand it's acquired quite an interesting list of sponsors and endorsers. Could you tell us about some of the prominent people who have come out to endorse the Canadian boat and the international flotilla?
Absolutely. We've been organizing for a year now. So this amazing project has built momentum across the country. Over the course of the year, we have activists working in all the major cities and also many small towns in Canada. So that's been very exciting, and it's helped us to build our organization and our networks across the country, and we have over 200 endorsers who are supporting the Canadian Boat to Gaza. So those are individuals ranging from NGOs to authors and activists. We have academics, we have filmmakers, we have faith groups. Who else do we have? We have labor. We have all kinds of people supporting us. So this has become not just a Palestinian issue. This is about justice and human rights and freedom of movement and freedom of speech and freedom of expression.
Yes, and in the Hamilton area, I think you will be able to get information and support from a number of organizations, the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, Independent Jewish Voices Hamilton should be involved as part of the larger organization as well. I hear Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East Hamilton chapter may also be involved in other organizations as well. Plus, there's other Palestine-related events coming up very shortly. So there's a big deal. There's a lot going on. Some of the prominent endorsers and participants in the campaign struck my attention. I think there was Alice Walker from the U.S. boat to Gaza. There's a YouTube video of her calling this the Freedom Ride of Our Era.
Yes.
I found that really interesting because I think Medea Benjamin from Code Pink wrote similarly on that issue. I guess it's a vibe or meme or whatever that people have picked up, because back in the days of the Freedom Ride and what was happening in the United States and the Civil Rights Movement, some of the dialogue and discourse around that issue, you can see that there's a parallel. Like, people ask about the boat to Gaza. You know, aren't you doing this just to get attention for an issue? But when Rosa Parks wouldn't sit at the back of a bus, it was her intention to peacefully and nonviolently bring an issue to light. So do you see parallels there?
Absolutely, I do. And that's a really important thing that you say. Alice is actually going to be on the boat. We also, from the Canadian side, we have Bob Lovelace, who is a former Mohawk chief, and he said something very profound and important, I think. He said that he has learned through his experience in the colonialization of Canada and the apartheid reserve states that we have here in Canada, that he has learned not to ask permission from the oppressor. And so I think going forward, these are really powerful statements that are being made, not only in terms of one specific issue, but in terms of the freedom of people in general.
Yes, and with this particular government, I think we know who the oppressor is.
Absolutely.
We'll get into that in just a moment. It's just on the endorser list, again, it's so impressive, the type of people that are involved in this, because in the United States and in Canada, I think we have former government officials and members of political parties that have been involved in the boat. Some of them are on the boat, really putting their beliefs at the forefront, as in the case of Alice Walker being present on the boat. Now, there was also, I believe, there was a Holocaust survivor involved in the North American boat. I have an article here, a powerful story by Jane Hirschman, and she's relating her change of heart on the issue, or how she became aware and politicized on Gaza. She said for her, it was Operation Cast Lead and the Goldstone Report. They were what she called the catalysts. And when she began looking into what was happening within Israel proper and Israel itself, she spoke of Jewish-only streets for Israeli settlers, I guess, once you get into the settlements, special identity papers for Palestinian citizens of Israel, and so on. So when people look into these issues, they realize that they have to do something. In terms of Canada, Do we also have prominent Jewish participants or people that have suffered at the Holocaust or other tragedies?
Absolutely. We have a number of members of IJV who are with us. Dylan Penner, he is going to be on the boat, and he is an active spokesperson for IJV. Sandra Roush, who is a Jewish woman who lived in Israel, who actually grew up in a Zionist culture, and through that process really understood what was being told to her and reacted against it, and she saw the truth, and she has become an incredible advocate for Palestine and for human rights, and in support of her Jewish religion as well. So she has been a real activist in terms of differentiating Judaism and Zionism, which is a really important issue, and one that continues to be politicized, and it's often the first line of argument that we hear, the accusation of anti-Semitism, which of course is not what any of us are about. This is about humanity and the rights for all of us to live freely and safely.
Well, it's good that you mention Sandra Roush. In fact, she's been on this program multiple times, one of our favorite guests. It was difficult to get a hold of her for an interview on this subject, but that's because I guess she's out of the country and participating in this. I guess there's a lot of planning and foresight and forethought that has to be involved in getting people onto this Canadian boat. And certainly when I spoke with Kevin Nisch, the Canadian boat was a major subject in terms of the logistics and the difficulty, because we know there are efforts to stop that boat from sailing despite the massive activism and effort that has gone into it across Canada, the more than $300,000 that were raised, the dozens of participants having to organize cargo and inspections and safety and docking and being part of this whole flotilla. There's a lot involved. So I guess what are the main obstacles right now to getting things started, getting this flotilla moving out of the port?
Well, Israel is using every political and legal move that it can think of to try to stop the flotilla. There is evidence now on videotape that can be accessed on our website, www.tahrir.ca, that shows the damage that was done to one of the ships, to part of its propeller. There has been moves to try to stop the insurance companies from being able to insure the boats. There have been threats against journalists in terms of covering the whole story. They have really there's a lawsuit launched against the Canadian boat, actually, which is again something that we're dealing with in terms of lawyers, but all of these things are really just attempts to cover up the truth, and there's nothing that's going to stop us. We will be leaving the ports as soon as we possibly can, and we'll be sailing towards Gaza.
Yeah, I've heard of some pretty ridiculous lawsuits involved in this. I think there was one involving alleged distress, emotional distress to opponents of the flotilla and so forth. I mean, there's multiple red tape and legal stoppages here, and one of the main focuses in this pressure campaign is the idea of legality. Is the flotilla legal? Is the cargo, has it all been inspected, and so forth? I mean, it sort of sidesteps the major point. Is the blockade of Gaza legal? I mean, what jurisdiction does Israel have to prevent ships, civilian or otherwise, from coming in or out of Gaza?
Yeah, that's precisely the question we ask. We are a civilian initiative. We are connected to civilians in Gaza. When we were talking about endorsements, the one thing I didn't mention is the tons of Palestinian organizations that are supporting us and who are asking for this flotilla to happen. So this is not a Western or European-led initiative. This is the people of Gaza asking to be freed and for us to assist in that process.
Well, this is a very important point. And by the way, for those who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Wendy Goldsmith, one of the organizers involved in the Canadian boat to Gaza. And Wendy, you're saying that there's a whole lot of Palestinians and other people that are involved in this flotilla, the flotilla at large. One of the places where you can really see the multitude of people involved, the diversity of this organization, is by going to the Tahrir.ca website. Again, that's Tahrir.ca, named after the square in Egypt. And this is because when you go to that website and you see the articles, you see the U.S. activists and lawyers and other people that have been writing about this. You see the Canadians who have been putting the boat together, the Canadian boat. You see the Palestinians who have been organizing in Palestine and lobbying the United Nations in Palestine on the issue, and the Independent Jewish Voices efforts from Canada. So you can see all the different people who are involved in this international, multinational campaign by going to the Tahrir.ca website. And the issue of Palestinian organizing on this brings me to the other point, which is it seems when we talk about the flotilla and the blockade, we think about aid getting into Gaza, and it's an objective to get aid into Gaza, but the overall problem is it seems that the United States and the West has accepted the idea that Palestine should be the only place on earth that is continually dependent on outside aid or humanitarian assistance. So as nice as we are in Canada with charity and aid and helping out here, I mean, that's not a sustainable situation, right? We want to see an independent and free Palestine that can engage in trade with its neighbors and trade relations so that can have a viable economy. So is this what the flotilla is ultimately proceeding towards?
Absolutely. I mean, we keep hearing these false assertions that the blockade has been eased or that humanitarian aid is getting to Gaza. But just 10 days ago, the UN released a report saying that conditions, in fact, are not improving and they're declining in Gaza, that the quality of life is declining. So we know that this is not true, that the quality of life for people living in Gaza continues to decline. And we seem to be in a culture where we read the paper and hear that things are okay, and we close our eyes to that. And so one of the goals that I have as a woman living in Canada is to try to wake up the rest of my fellow citizens to what's really happening, and that we don't listen to the blanket statements that are issued by our government and by other governments around the world about the conditions in Gaza.
And the Palestinians continue to innovate in terms of getting attention from the rest of the world, from the international community, although there is now a lot of focus. I know that there was Palestinians dressing up as characters in the Avatar film, trying to draw comparisons to indigenous struggles. And there have been other really media-oriented, looking towards the outside, to the English-speaking world campaigns that you can see partly on the Tahrir.ca website. It's a sort of handshake idea where Palestinian activists can be working in solidarity with activists in other countries, because ultimately it's our own governments that are enabling this situation to continue. Now, I know we're not expecting help from Harper on the flotilla, but what is the official government or the Canadian government position in terms of the flotilla, and if anything happens, any negative activity happens?
Well, John Baird has recently released a statement saying that he viewed the actions of the flotilla to be provocative against Israel, warning all of us not to go, that it's a war zone, and that the Canadian government will not be able to support us or assist us if things happen to us while we're on the sea. So they, in fact, have not been supportive at all. We have responded by saying to them that it's actually the blockade and Israel's ignoring of international law that is provocative. We are a peaceful mission trying to reach the shores of Gaza with international humanitarian aid, in our case, which is medical supplies. So the Canadian government has not been responsive. We were hopeful when the NDP was elected as our official opposition that we may find some support there, but we've also been disappointed in that regard in terms of a motion on the floor that was defeated to support the flotilla.
How does the NDP's official position compare to that of the ruling Conservative Party?
Well, it's not that different. I mean, they say that they are sympathetic to Gaza, that they call for the end of the blockade, but really, at the end of the day, that the words don't amount to any action that actually eases or lifts or changes the blockade or any of the circumstances in Gaza.
Now, I understand that not all the governments in the world are as draconian as Harper's Conservatives. The Irish government, for example, has, while they haven't endorsed the flotilla, they've said people have the right to participate in civil rights activism. And I think, I mean, that's almost the same as the NDP position. I mean, there's different ways political parties can adapt and respond to this issue. And again, you know, the issue that's come up here now is what's on the boats. We know last time on the Turkish vessel, the Mavi Marmara, and the rest of the flotilla, that no one really was able to find any weapons. When they were boarded by the Israeli soldiers, some people in self-defense were taking bars of metal from the ship and whatever. There wasn't really any harmful materials aboard. Now, this time, I believe it's very much organized in the same fashion. What is the Canadian boat? You say that it's medical aid is being brought in conjunction with the Canadian activists. How does this work logistically? I know there's people on the Canadian ship. Some of them are carrying cargo. So how does this work exactly?
Well, we, as I said, are carrying only medical aid, and we have invited the UN. We've asked numerous people to please come and inspect our boat, to document completely what's on our ship before we sail, during our passage, and when we arrive at Gaza. We are not hiding anything. We have been on the ground preparing for this initiative for the past week. We have asked our participants, all of our participants, to engage in long days of nonviolent direct action training, so to understand how to approach each situation as it occurs. We are anticipating all kinds of reactions by Israel. They've already threatened violence. We just keep putting forward. We are nonviolent. We simply want to sail to Gaza.
It sounds like the flotilla organizers are doing their best to cross all the T's and dot all their I's on all of the various maritime laws and other issues that are involved there. So I congratulate you for that. I guess just before we go, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Kevin Nisch. In terms of, we interviewed him last week or 2 weeks ago, and he announced his intent to be on the Mavi Marmara. Now, I understand that there has been pressure put on the Turkish government, and they may not be sailing that vessel. So what's happening to the people who wanted to be on that ship?
Well, some of them have managed to find spaces on other ships, so we've tried to incorporate them into other projects. But there were some people certainly disappointed that they won't be able to sail this time around.
Mm-hmm. So how many ships comprise the present flotilla?
Right now we're expecting 10 ships to sail. 22 countries are participating, and we'll have hundreds of activists from those countries represented on the sea.
And for the first time, that will include a Canadian and a U.S. vessel?
That's right.
Okay, well, that sounds very interesting. Again, we wish the best of luck. We hope that there is no violent confrontation, that the flotilla is able to land peacefully. That would be the best alternative for everyone involved, for the flotilla participants, for the people in Gaza, for Israel itself, I think, to let this aid go through and encourage other governments in the area to open their borders. That would be the best situation. And it's the work that's being done on the ground by the organizers in Canada, in the United States, in Palestine, in Israel, and elsewhere that's allowing this to happen. And we owe a special thanks to you, Wendy, and all the others that are involved in Canada on this activism. You'll be able to listen to this program to get the latest news when it happens, and I encourage people to check tahrir.ca. So, Wendy, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate your support.
It's very much a pleasure, and we'll talk later. Thanks, Wendy.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Wendy Goldsmith, and she is an organizer. She is an activist and organizer, one of the members of the steering committee for the Canadian boat to Gaza.